No, there's still discussion in the Senate. The Senate's talking about 3 months. If they pass something, then the House would have to deal with that question. But it's become an issue where I think you might be correct that it's lost a lot of steam. It's particularly critical down here because of the high unemployment rate in Yuma, and of the people in Arizona, a great number of them are in Yuma County, that would qualify for an extended period. Not everybody qualifies. Like I said, 1 in 4 unemployed would qualify for this. Some have exhausted that 99 weeks already and would not qualify. But for those that could, it could mean the difference between survival or total dependency, where you have no way to pay your rent, you have no transportation, you have no way to get child care. So for the 2,000 and so here in Yuma County, it's a big deal. But unfortunately, I think you might be right that the willpower on the part of leadership, and I say that the Democratic leadership, to push this issue again and again, seems to be waning.
Does a 3-month extension, if that were to go through, would that count the month of January, or would it go back retroactive to December 28th, or would it actually be only a 2-month extension?
It's retroactive. It would be a 2-month extension.
So you'd be talking about this again in before summer?
Right. And a lot of things, you know, Congress this time of the year punts a lot of stuff into the September-August cycle for midterm election issues and others. And so this would be one that would pop back up in the middle of a election time.
Of course, when we're talking about the average payout in Arizona of about $200 a week, so when you're talking about a couple thousand people in Yuma County, that's a pretty significant hit to the local economy.
Yeah, and like I said, this is immediate expenditures. These are, the landlord gets his rent, utilities get their payment, grocery stores get food purchased, and the list goes on. And these are immediate payments. These are turnaround payments. And what is it for every dollar? $1.52 is expended in the community. And so it's not that you hold on to this money. It's an immediate influx of cash into the local economy.
Well, and you know, I don't know if anyone's done this study either, but if you pay your rent late, you are also incurring fees. So your debt goes up as well as your inability to pay your bills.
And if you get kicked out, then you have more difficulty renting another place later on, and your deposit is 2 to 3 times what it should have been because of your payment record.
And it really lengthens the impact.
It's a cycle. So once you're in, and people that are in it will tell you it's so hard to get out.
What about the unemployment rate for Yuma County? I was just taking a look at the BLS numbers this past week. Do you trust those numbers? We hear a lot about how they undercount the unemployed, and then we've also heard in Yuma County that they overestimate the unemployment rate.
I heard the overestimation. I think there's a seasonal drift during harvest time, or when there is no harvest or minimal harvest. But essentially, El Centro, if you use El Centro's figures of 22%, let's say it's the same for Yuma. That's still almost 3 times the national average. And the issue here in Yuma has been about diversification. It's been that way for a while. I think that import-export isn't exploited as much as it should be with Mexico and Latin America. That's an area I'd like to work with Congressman Gosar on. Since we share parts of the border and certainly parts of one of the ports of entry, I think as we go forward and as we enhance the proving ground and as we protect more land around Goldwater, that I think that in the long term is going to be a job generator and for subcontractors a good boon. Something's got to be done about the airport. The sharing situation is a good one. It's worked both for the city and for the Marines. But in the long term, I think Yuma has to really explore what its air capacity is going to be in the future, because it's tied closely to how your economic growth goes. And the last thing down the road is what affiliation through the community college, through other learning institutions, what affiliations are going to have to be made in order to raise the 4-year status profile of Yuma in terms of higher education. And when I say not just 4 years of graduate, postgraduate kind of work, I think it's positioned on a research basis. I think it's positioned on a borderlands basis. I think it's positioned on arid lands basis to do some things that other regions in Arizona and, for that matter, in the Southwest can't. And all of those have economic cottages all over the place. And so I was very happy to see the three mayors here. And the new mayor of Yuma is open to these discussions, has a different... I think because he's a younger man, he thinks, sees things for his children, what's going to happen. He's a conservative man, but he's not an ideologue that won't listen to another person's point of view and argument. And I find that very welcoming and certainly someone that we look forward to working with. And the two mayors in Somerton and San Luis, they're both trying to grow their cities economically. And I think if those three have, we're kind of encouraging them, being a little bit of a three-person parade on a lot of economic issues, because I think they could be pretty important in terms of the constituencies they represent.
Let's move on to the next issue. The president said he would raise the minimum wage for federal contracted employees. You're saying that state and federal could take some action on raising it to 10-10. Yeah. Arizona's already taken a little bit of action in the past to raise a minimum wage, so there must be some support for it in this state.
There is yet, I think there's only been one minimum wage initiative in any state, red or blue, that has lost. And the only one that was really close was 55-45, and there was millions and millions pumped in against it in Ohio. The other ones have been 79, 72, 71 in Arizona. I mention that because American people's sense of fair play is stronger than people give it credit for. They believe if somebody's busting their hump 8 to 10 hours a day, that they shouldn't have to depend on anything else other than their hard work and their salary. They really believe that. And they feel it's a reward for hard work. And so it's a great deal of support. I mentioned the statistics. It was 79% Democrats raised the minimum wage to 10-10, 54% Republicans, and 69% independents. So it's a popular issue. It's a win-win issue. And to keep it off the agenda is, I think what the president did very, very smartly, cleverly, is kind of laid the minimum wage issue on the Republicans. And his gesture only affects 300,000, but it's symbolic. It's mostly the fast food industry and concessionaires all over, mainly D.C., by the way. It's about 80,000 of those are in D.C. And surrounding areas. So I think the minimum wage is not only a political issue, it's going to be framed as a very good economic issue as well.
So what keeps it from being pushed forward in the House? Is it that small group of Republicans that we hear a lot about, or is there something else?
The opposition is the chambers. The opposition is big corporate America, who sees this as hurting their ability to compete globally, and their strength on one-to-one with the members, regardless of the public opinion, is pretty strong. And I mentioned that, 4.6 billion subsidy for low-wage workers that work for major corporations. You did Walmart, you did McDonald's, you did two or three others, right? And that number came up. But 1.7 was a McDonald's, you know? So we're talking, you know, they get to pay low and we get to backload whatever the difference is. And I think the president's going to make that a big deal. But it's a fairness issue. I think the American people see it as that, and I think there's a lot of momentum for it.
Looking ahead to the year, what are some of your priorities generally? You've also got an election coming up.
Elections take care of themselves. I mean, you know, once you know what your opponents are about, once you know where the attacks are going to come, and then you prepare for them. So you know, it's hard to anticipate what that's going to be like till you're in the middle of it. But what I like, there's a lot of things that I hope we take some steps, because it is election time, to work out some issues that are just lingering out there where we can reach some compromise. I thought it left more questions than answers, the principles that the Republicans released from their retreat on immigration, but at least they said something about it, which had been it had been a muted response for the last 18 months. So they laid out something. More, like I said, more questions than answers. We'll get into that down the road when they have more specifics. But if one thing I'd like to see, especially for a place along the border like Yuma County and Santa Cruz County, is to come to some closure on immigration reform, the debate about how much security is security, and how do we and begin to concentrate on the issue of trade, begin to concentrate on unifying families. But for a place like Yuma, dealing with the immigration reform issue would have a huge settling effect. Almost any community will tell you, border community, it's consumed our lives.
Even if it's piecemealed out, because isn't one of the dangers of piecemealing it out is that you'll get a lot of votes from the Republicans for border security, but then when it comes to some of the reform for immigration, those won't get the votes.
The danger of piecemeal has always been who gets theirs and who doesn't. And the fear you outlined is absolutely correct. We'll be talking about SAFE Act and stuff like that, and more enforcement and family unification, pathway to legalization will go out the window. I think the debate that's coming up, how you define citizenship, the debate that's coming up and how you define what a guest worker is, the debate coming up on when is a trigger set off on security, the debate coming up on what is family unification and how far does it extend on the family tree. All those are going to be brutal, and if they're done piecemeal, there has to be a system that says they're all piecemeal, but they all go together. If we just send the SAFE Act up, I guarantee you we'll never get to family unification. It's a risk, and it's a risk given all the stuff that's going on in these communities that I'm for taking, and I would take that risk, but it's a risk nevertheless, because if it backfires, then you have to go around and explain why you only insisted in security and never dealt with the other issue. It's a tough one. It's going to be a tough one for Democrats, and equally as tough for the Republicans, because if the Republicans send two things up and we get two things done, then they have to go and explain why they were for family unification. And in any tough decision, both sides have to take some risks. And you know, if I'm taking a risk, I expect Gosar to be taking the same risk.